Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is February 17th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast is, Which Way is Up? Can you tell the difference? What we're going to focus on today is primarily centered around the global economy, particularly the markets, as of late. As of really the past several months, in this global melt-up that we are seeing in global stocks across the board. Particularly, it is focused on some of the bigger names, especially here in the United States, with those FANG stocks, those MAGA stocks, the Microsofts, Amazons, Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, Facebook, Netflix, you know the names. Apple, of course. We're going to talk about Apple a little bit here as well today because there was some news that came out of Apple, of course, on a day that the markets were not trading. You know, it's just too coincidental to be coincidence how these bad news events come out on a day when the United States markets are not trading. We got to talk about this. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Because it's funny, because we were just talking about this, the situation with Apple, on the previous podcast, not too many ago. But nevertheless, I want to focus on the economics in the financial markets today. So, over the weekend, we had the news come out of Japan that their economy in the fourth quarter of last year contracted by 6%. 6% contraction in the fourth quarter of 2019. Listen, folks, this is before the coronavirus episode. Before the coronavirus episode, which we are still in the midst of. Now, allegedly, it is slowing down in China. I don't necessarily believe that. But it's on the same path outside of China. It's doubling every 7 days. Cases confirmed. Every 7 days, it is doubling, which was pretty much what was taking place in China with the numbers that we had. So if this continues, it's going to cause some more problems. Now, which way is up? The markets might not care. So far, they have not cared. They haven't cared at all. There was that mini sell-off of a 1-2% down day, which got itself back up to where it is today, all-time highs once again, like it was nothing, like nothing ever happened. The markets are not that efficient to say, oh yeah, well, we took everything into consideration, there's no risk further down the road, this coronavirus is going to be completely contained, we have complete faith in the Chinese Communist Party that they're going to get everything taken care of. Well, I don't share that sentiment of having that much faith and confidence in the Chinese Communist Party. We have the world's second largest economy on shutdown, on lockdown. People are not even allowed to leave their homes in some of these cities. Oh, that's okay. The market's just going to keep going up. Why? Because central banks and mummy government are going to come to the rescue with more quote-unquote stimulus. It's like shooting a dead horse. We're going to come printing more money because, you know, all of these fantastic scientists we have in these central banks, all these epidemiologists, all those microbiologists, all these virologists, I mean, all of these geniuses of science. Oh, we know how to fix and solve the coronavirus. We're just going to print money, of course. Why didn't they teach us that at Johns Hopkins or Harvard Medical or Yale Medical? Why didn't they teach us that? Just print money and throw it in and everything will be okay. You don't have to worry about hundreds of thousands of people potentially being sick, tens of thousands dying, because those are probably the real numbers, by the way. Because again, folks, it's not just about the mortality rate, it's about the serious cases, the critical cases that actually require hospitalization. Because are you going to overwhelm the healthcare systems of countries around the world? And it's going to depend what country you are in. If this thing should spread into India, India is going to have a problem because their healthcare system, their hospital system is not that well advanced and developed. If this starts spreading in Africa, same story, probably even worse. And there was a first confirmed case over the weekend in Egypt. Okay? And again, this all comes back to how readily available the test kits are for health professionals to test people within their respective countries. And on one of the first go-arounds, if you will, from some of the test kits that came out of the CDC here in the United States, there was a recall on them because they were coming back faulty. Test results were coming back faulty. So on the first go-around, there was already some hiccups. Now, nobody's perfect, but I'm just trying to state the case here that this thing is far from over. I do not take my science knowledge or my science tips and recommendations from a bunch of crack addicts on Wall Street who just think everything's fine because Jay Powell, Christine Lagarde, the DOJ, the Bank of Japan, obviously, and the People's Bank of China are just going to continue to print money. I don't think that that is a solution. I don't think that that has long-term sustainability. Sorry, I don't. But anytime you go and you read something that has to deal with an epidemiologist or somebody who actually has a track record, who makes a living doing this, tracking down viruses, coming up with vaccines, et cetera, almost to a one, that the numbers coming out of China are, they're not even close to being what's true, that this can truly turn into a pandemic that could, in fact, this is not me, this is somebody out of Harvard Medical, an epidemiologist who was saying, you know, from what we understand at this point, would not surprise him if it goes as far as 40 to 70% of the world's population. 40 to 70%! Now, I mean, this is this guy's livelihood. He's from Harvard. Why would he come out publicly on the record and make this statement if there was not some sort of possibility and maybe even a probability associated with it? Because it'll make him look like a loon, like he doesn't know what he's talking about if these numbers don't even come close. Now, of course, he doesn't hope they come close, and so do we. We don't hope they come anywhere near that. But do you think Mr. Market is even discounting any of that possibility in? No, because they think the scientists at the Federal Reserve and the ECB and all these other central banks around the world, they're going to solve this thing by just printing money, and that'll just take care of everything. And then depending on the government, maybe they're going to do tax cuts or maybe they're going to start spending more money to cause some stimulus. Again, this is shooting a dead horse. Nobody wants to allow for any type of price discovery. Nobody wants to allow for any type of correction. Again, folks, we should not be concerned or afraid of the word correction. It is a good thing. But this is most definitely an in-your-face, in-concert effort globally of central banks and governments to throw as much as they possibly can at these financial markets to keep them propped up. So what do they know that we don't know, obviously, right? I mean, because why would they do this, especially in the United States of America, especially in somewhere like Australia, somewhere like Japan, somewhere like the European Union, right? Aren't these countries supposed to believe in free market capitalism? That means price discovery. Prices go up, they come down, they correct, they go up. There's melt-ups, there's meltdowns. That's what happens. It's the ebbs and flows. Now, they don't have to happen to the degree at which they do, but that's a direct result of the manipulation that takes place prior to the melt-ups and to the subsequent meltdowns. And now we are seeing manipulation on steroids like we have never seen before. We did a podcast recently, Economic Disconnects, one after the other. I mean, that's almost what I should title this entire podcast, this whole news thing that I do here. Economic Disconnects, and it's day after day after day. It's something else. It's just a further continuation of going higher and higher and higher off of fewer profits, fewer revenues. Can't make this stuff up. One economic data point after the other. Right? Everybody thought, all right, well, we had this big sell-off in 2018. All right, now we're fine. 2009, everybody's going to be saved because there's this concerted effort of central banks and federal governments around the world. They're just going to stimulate everything. And all those economists and all those naysayers out there that said we're headed into a recession or there's going to be a slowdown, this thing's going to continue. They don't know what they're talking about. It's going to keep going up at any cost. At any cost. And now we've just been waiting. Now these numbers are going to get better. 2019, they're supposed to get better. Well, they're not getting better. And we have Japan, one of the world's largest economies in the world, contracting in the fourth quarter at 6%. This is before the coronavirus. What do you think is going to take place in the first quarter of 2020? And this assumes that everything gets contained, that this isn't going to be a problem, that coronavirus isn't going to cause an overwhelming of healthcare systems the world over. This assumes that the Chinese Communist Party and every other country that has this thing is going to contain it and stop it cold in its tracks. Again, the warm weather theory, it's possible, but this thing's taking place in Singapore, and Singapore is nice and warm. It's nice and cozy out there. High humidity, high heat, and this thing's spreading. There's still some speculation out there. I'm hearing that patient zero, the original person that contracted the virus, could be in Singapore. So they still don't know. There's still a lot taking place. Not going to get the truth from the Chinese. I'm skeptical of the reporting we're getting from, you know, the World Health Organization and the CDC. Again, folks, the truth is always the first casualty in any war. And we are always in the midst in the 21st century here, always in the midst of the information war. I mean, this is 1984. This is George Orwellian stuff. You cannot make it up. Up is down. Down is up. Which way is up? Title of today's podcast. So the news coming out of Apple, oh, well, surprise, surprise, Tim Cook, CEO in Apple, they come out and they say, well, I don't think we're going to meet our numbers for the March quarter. Oh, really? What a surprise. You mean the world's second largest economy shutting down for a month and a half and continuing is going to have an effect on your revenue and your profits? Wow. What a shocker. What a shocker. We'll see what happens with the markets tomorrow. We know what they're doing today. We know what's going on right now. We have the Japanese market down 317 points, a decline of 1.35% on the day. Earlier in today, and Monday, okay, because we do these at night, so this is what's taking place on Tuesday their time, but earlier today on Monday, because obviously the markets were open overseas, closed here in the U.S. for President's Day, but the Shanghai composite was up over 2%. It was up over 2%. Why? Because of the coronavirus, the stimulus that's going to come from the People's Bank of China and from the Chinese government with tax cuts and all these other things that are going to support the economy. Quote unquote, I use this word loosely, support the economy. It's crumbling, folks. We did our analysis on what's taking place in China across the board, economically speaking, politically speaking, socially speaking. The Chinese Communist Party is juggling quite a few balls right now. I mean, and it's not going to take much for them to make a mistake or to slip up. You know, in a lot of sources I read, it looks like the Chinese people are really concerned and are getting fed up with being left in the dark as to what's taking place. And they're doing their best to try to find Western news outlets or some other source because they are highly skeptical of what their own government is telling them, and rightly so. Because they have people who are sick, they have people who are dying, and they're in their country and they know that something's wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that this is going to turn into a pandemic, but it could. But it's a domestic issue for them on all of those fronts. Remember, what's the Chinese Communist Party going to do? What are they going to juggle? Are they going to say, well, we really got to fight this thing because we know it's worse than what we're letting out? But at the same time, we're the world's second largest economy. We're responsible for so many supply chains. If people aren't working, what's going to happen? Can they eat? Are they going to revolt? Are they going to take to the streets? What's going to take place here? So do we open up some of these factories little by little, maybe 25% capacity, 50%, and then we see what takes place over the coming days if this thing, this coronavirus, continues to spread and gets worse? What do we do? What do we do? Damned if we do, damned if we don't. So they got a problem on their hands on multiple fronts. But Apple comes out, we're not going to meet our March numbers. Surprise, surprise. But you have to recall, and we talked about this, when they did this at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, when Tim Cook, the CEO, came out and said, Apple, from this year forward, we're going to be missing. It's negative forward guidance. Negative forward guidance. And what happened subsequently to the stock, the share price of Apple? It doubled. It doubled. We're not going to make our numbers, and the share price doubles. You cannot make this stuff up. Can't make it up. That tells you, ladies and gentlemen, that we must be in a bubble. I can't remember how many years it has been. Probably going on 3 or 4, maybe even more. I'm going to have to double check here. That Apple's actual profits have been on the decline. So but the share price keeps going up. Yeah, they buy back their shares. Of course, that's the financial engineering that's taking place. You know, Tim Cook is buddy-buddy with Donald Trump. You think that's by accident? You think he doesn't know what's going on here? And then Donald Trump comes out and talks about these stocks. Everything's great. Tim Cook, right? Remember he called him Tim Apple before? Tim Apple, he says everything's fantastic. Yeah, buy, buy, buy. Up, up, up. Plunge protection team with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and the largest banks on Wall Street. Remember that? In the fourth quarter of 2018? Nothing to see here, folks. The Plunge Protection Team. Are you picking up on the words? The Plunge Protection Team. George Orwellian stuff. If the markets are supposed to sell off, they're supposed to sell off. They're supposed to find fair value. That's it. That's it. Nobody's preventing you from taking your portfolio, putting it into cash. Nobody's preventing you from buying hard assets like precious metals. Nobody's preventing you from selling short or to hedge your positions. Mommy and daddy government are not here to protect your portfolio. I'm sorry, that's not how it's supposed to work in a free market capitalistic system. You have nothing but information at your fingertips. You can buy a book, you can rent a book, you can take online courses for free. You can listen to various podcasts and people who do a great job on podcasts or on YouTube with videos. There's no excuse. There's none whatsoever. If you'd rather play games, that's fine. Do what you want to do, but don't come crying to me and mommy and daddy government if you're not prepared. It's not my problem. Don't make it my problem. You can be prepared. Share prices go up, they go down. But now, in the midst of whatever type of paradigm we are in, and I don't believe this is a new paradigm. This is just going to be short-lived, in my opinion. But short-lived could be a year, could be a couple years, could be a few years. In this paradigm, you're going to continue to have actions of the Plunge Protection Team, whatever they're doing. You're going to have the likes of the Federal Reserve continue to print money. The ECB, the BOJ, all of them are going to continue to print money to keep these things higher and higher. We know, because we've talked about it here, that the Swiss National Bank actually owns outright American companies. They own the shares. They own the shares. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. They have a printing press, like every other central bank does, Swiss National Bank. They print the money, they go to the market, and they buy Apple, and they buy Google, and they buy Microsoft. How can they lose? How can they lose? What happens if you did that? What happens if you opened up your own little printing press? Took that money, put it in a bank, put it in your brokerage account, and then started buying. I mean, what do you think would happen to you? It's such a rigged and fixed game, and nobody talks about this stuff. Nobody talks about it. No Republican, no Democrat, not the President of the United States. In fact, we have a President of the United States who's saying more, more, more. Give me your money. Negative interest rates. Let's go. Prime the press. Let's get it moving. Come on. Let's go. Cannot make this stuff up. That's a crime. That's a crime. Can't make it any clearer than that. And none of these damn Democrats are talking about it either because they're too stupid to figure out what's going on, or they're in on it. It's one of the two. Could be a combination of both. I mean, the issues of the day are so simple. I mean, the likes of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and even Donald Trump, they're of the same cloth. You understand this. They are of a populist movement that the system is fixed. It's rigged against you. You're the little man. You're the forgotten man and woman. You've been getting screwed over by the system. I know. Ba, 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 ba. Yet none of them are talking about central banks. Now, Trump did when he was a candidate. And he was on the right side of it. Now he's in there. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. There's no bubble now. This is the Trump economy, baby. It's the best we've ever had, which is a bunch of BS. Now I need the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates, make this bubble even bigger than what it was. Of course, it's not a bubble now in his mind. And I want negative interest rates. I mean, that to me, that is, you're undeserving of the office. That is a disqualifier right off the bat. So see you later. On the other side, you have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. They should be attacking the Federal Reserve on a daily basis, informing the people of what's taking place. But they're not doing it. And you know why they're not doing it? Because with their BS policies that they're putting forward, they know that they need the Federal Reserve to print the money to pull off their types of programs. Now, the vast majority of them will never get passed, even if one of them becomes president. The majority of them will not get passed because it's not going to go through Congress. Republicans, I would imagine, at that point would stand up and again become the party of no. And they would say, we're not going to let this happen. No socialism here. Ba, 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 ba. You can't have free this, free that, free everything. Can't do it. Can't afford it. But that's going to be if they're out of power, right? The Republicans. Now they have power. Who cares what anything costs? $1 trillion deficit here, $1 trillion deficit there, another one next year, another one the year after that. Who cares? Who cares? Trade wars? Who cares? An out-of-control Federal Reserve? Who cares? We're not Republicans. We're not conservatives. We're only Republican and conservative When we're out of power, then we play the tough guy, then we play the party of no, and we keep the Democrats and those socialists at bay. But when we have power, we forget all about that stuff. No. Trade deficits, budget deficits, record amounts of national debt. No, that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. Is it fine? No, it's not. So where are my conservative Republican friends? They're nowhere to be found because you've completely caved to this Donald Trump mentality and policy or whatever he's doing. And for what reason, I have no idea. So that I guess that we can continue to live in this bubble that just keeps going up, completely disconnected from reality. This is a completely rigged and phony game. The economy is not the best or greatest it has ever been. It's not even close. Those of you who've been paying attention to this podcast know this. It's one data point after the next. One after the next. If all you can point to is that the unemployment rate is at a 50-year low, you're in trouble. Because the unemployment rate, for one, is a lagging indicator. Two, it's funny business how the government calculates it. Every one of you should understand this. The participation rate is still basically where it has been for the past decade. A slight tick up. But again, I think a lot of that is because there's older people that got to come out of retirement back into the workforce. And then you have to look not just at the quantity of jobs, but the quality of them. When you have a vast majority of people in the services sector making $10 to $15 an hour. When you look deeper into the numbers, when you look further under the hood, you see people working two, three jobs to make ends meet. One survey after the next that keeps coming out from multiple sources. Most Americans do not have $1,000 in the case of an emergency. They don't have $400 in the event of an emergency, cash. They're living paycheck to paycheck. Even some people who make six figures live paycheck to paycheck, using credit cards with record high interest rates to make ends meet. Do not tell me that this is the greatest economy ever and do it with a straight face and do it on Twitter. You should be ashamed of yourself. Leadership is about telling the truth. This guy, President Trump, was supposed to be different. He's no different than any of them. Draining the swamp, not even close. Again, he's taking to Twitter, talking about the economy, talking about how the Defense Department, the military, was depleted. I would like sources on this, that the military was depleted. I want sources. I want information. We've talked about this many times before on this podcast. I want sources. I want documents, and I want names, and I want figures. Because all you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, it's public figures, is go on and find, and again, you can go to the Federal Reserve website on this too, and type in defense budget, defense expenditures, and you're going to have $600-700 billion a year for the past decade and a half, okay? That's a lot of money. Do the math, how much that adds up to over the course of a decade, all right? And if you go back, you can go back even further to the George W. Bush administration, when all of this started, these endless wars started. So we got a president who claims that the military has been depleted. And it's only now perfectly fine, thanks to him. And the, what is it now, about $2, going on $3 trillion that has been spent on the military-industrial complex, on the defense budget? If that's the case, folks, if it was depleted, that is one of the biggest crimes of the century. As to the amount of money that is allegedly would have been stolen or misappropriated, used for nepotism, corrupt purposes. So if the president's going to make that claim, he has to back it up with some facts because there needs to be a massive investigation because those are our tax dollars. So if the military was truly depleted to the degree at which Donald Trump makes us believe on Twitter and when he comes out and says these things, then he needs to start investigating these people who stole this money. Because where did it go? Where did it go? Or behind door number two, Donald Trump's lying to us again, and that wasn't the case. The military wasn't depleted. He just wants to spend more money on the military because I guess that's a no-brainer when it comes to the Republicans passing something. But that ain't draining the swamp, folks, not even close. The military-industrial complex, the banking system, that is the swamp. And to round out this unholy trinity is the central bank, the Federal Reserve. So we have Donald Trump congratulating himself for giving the military-industrial complex more money than they've ever had. The banks, the big banks on Wall Street, making more money than they've ever had, have. And wanting the Federal Reserve to print more money and to take more control of this market. Now, by anybody's definition, how is that draining the swamp? I would ask somebody, I'm asking, I ask this audience all the time for somebody to give me an answer. I never get one. Never get one. And I guess I'll be waiting a little bit longer on that as well. Let's see what else we got going on here with some of these markets here. We got commodities. They were up today on the hopes that everything was going to be contained, that the Chinese stimulus, everything was going to be A-OK. Well, at the time of this podcast, now we got a reversal. We have WTI trading at $51.62 a barrel. Brent, the international metric, is at $57.10. Natural gas rallied, I think it was about 5% today, and is now trading at $1.94 per British thermal unit, per million British thermal unit. Remember, folks, this was below $1.80 not too long ago, so this is no surprise that there was a little bit of a rebound. A 5% is a strong move for the day. We'll continue to see what takes place. I think a lot of this was on the back of some weather forecast that there's going to be some cooler weather by the end of this month. Time will tell. I still believe that the longer trend line here for the next few coming months here, unless there really is a big freeze, is going to continue in its downward trajectory. We have gold trading at $1,585 an ounce. We have silver up trading at $17.84 an ounce. On the bond front, we have the U.S. 10-year Treasury note back down, and it is now yielding 1.55%. So again, another little flight to safety evidently here. What's going to happen? Who is going to win out? Is it going to be the bond market or is it going to be the stock market? Because the bond market is saying, well, 1.55%, and I can almost guarantee you folks, I can almost guarantee it that these rates are going to go lower because the Federal Reserve is going to have to get involved. Coronavirus is just going to be another convenient excuse, just like the trade war was a convenient excuse. Remember, this is just something that exacerbates the problem. Same thing with Japan. They're going to use the excuse that they implemented over there, a sales tax increase. They're going to use that as the cause of the contraction. No, no, no. It was already slowing down. That just made things worse. The coronavirus, it's just going to make things worse. The trade war just exacerbated the problem. There is too much global debt in every single nook and cranny. The consumer, businesses, governments, central banks. This is the everything bubble. Make no mistake about it. So that's the 10-year Treasury note. Even on the currency front, I mean, you have the euro making, I think, a multi-year low, almost a three-year low at $1.08. And remember, folks, I've talked about this. It's been a while since I've talked about currencies here. But I still believe that the euro against the U.S. dollar is going to go to parity. So it's going to be 1-to-1. Okay? I believe this because what's going to continue taking place, we have seen no signs of any type of reflation in the European market. What we've just seen when it comes to the fourth quarter data is a continuation to the downside. In the fourth quarter is, again, prior to the coronavirus, prior to a massive slowdown in the world's second largest economy, which is the largest trading partner of Germany, which is also one of the world's largest economies, which is going to end up in contraction probably for two consecutive quarters once we get the first quarter numbers, which will take place obviously at the at some point in April. But we're likely to see Germany in a technical recession. All right? This is just going to continue downward and downward and downward until it doesn't. These attempts at stimulus from a monetary standpoint, from a fiscal standpoint, is shooting a dead horse. We have to allow these markets to clear. We have to allow these bad debts to liquidate across the board. It's the only way we can build from a strong foundation. We never started building from a strong foundation following the Great Financial Crisis. We had the opportunity to, and we talk about that here all the time with President Obama at the time coming in. He could have cleaned house. He honestly could have been the hope and change candidate. I was no big fan of Barack Obama, did not vote for the man, but he had the opportunity to go down as one of the best presidents ever in my mind because he could have really came in and held these people to account, these people on Wall Street, but he didn't. He didn't. He allowed them to run roughshod. He allowed them to walk through his administration and in his cabinet, walking through the White House, having power, positions of power and influence. And that's exactly what happened. He could have came in, he could have held people accountable. So there's going to be investigations. People are going to go to jail for this. The American people lost their homes. They lost their jobs. They lost their cars. Some of them, because of the financial stress, lose their families. Some of them commit suicide. And then these people on Wall Street, who have turned our homes into casino chips, nobody goes to jail. Some of them have to resign. Some of them get fired. But that's just for looks. That's just for optics. They walked away with million-dollar bonuses, million-dollar retirement packages with their golden parachutes. Meanwhile, the taxpayer is left flipping the bill. That wasn't hope and change you can believe in. He had the opportunity of a lifetime to allow for those liquidations to take place. Would it have gotten worse? Yes, it would have gotten worse, but that's what needed to take place. I can only imagine how far along we would be over this past, 12 years or whatever it was since Obama was in office. How much further along we would be. Now we're playing the same game at supersonic speed. And we're expecting, I guess somehow we're going to reach escape velocity and putting on more debt to solve a problem of even bigger debt is somehow going to solve the problem. I mean, it's just a complete logical fallacy and inconsistency. I don't know how anybody can be taken seriously when they come out and they advocate for these positions, for these policies. It just makes no sense whatsoever. There is no leadership. It's the only people that are leading anywhere in the world are the people in the streets protesting because they're starting to feel the effects of these policies. It's going to take a little bit longer for them to really be felt here in the United States to the degree at which they are in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Iran, in Peru, in Chile, in Hong Kong, all over the world, where people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, where they cannot take a 5% or a 5-cent increase on the price of a bus ticket or a metro pass. Enough is enough. People are sick and tired of it. And they should be. And they should be. And they should be demanding change. And at the same time, we had a president in Donald Trump who came in, same type of thing. Same type of thing. A continuation of terrible policies for 8 years under the Obama administration. Trump had it. He could have walked in here with the name of draining the swamp, with going after the Federal Reserve, with going after all of this excess money spending and these deficits, which happened to be cut in half, by the way, during the Obama administration. Now they've doubled. Now they've doubled up to $1 trillion, and it's going to be over $1 trillion because, remember, the federal government doesn't do all of the accounting. You know, they take some things off paper, off book, but it still adds up to the national debt. And it still needs to be paid for. The piper still needs paid. So again, where are the fiscal conservatives? If this was Barack Obama with consistent trillion-dollar deficits, this is socialism. This guy, he's going to ruin the country. We told you this was going to happen. Look what he's doing. He's doing it. Now it's taking place, and Donald Trump's the best thing since sliced bread. He's the savior to some people, and it makes no sense to me whatsoever. None whatsoever. He has people hypnotized, evidently. I don't know what it is. But which way is up, folks? I guess we're going to find out tomorrow because the U.S. markets will be open. Will all of the negative Apple news already be priced in and will just continue higher at all-time highs? Does that mean that the Federal Reserve is really going to put the pedal to the metal as we speak to make sure that the futures don't fall too far, or at least to make sure when they open up at 9:30 on the cash trade in New York, they start going up? Time will tell, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, and leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.